Everybody's all set. I'd like to welcome you to the March 23rd Select Board meeting. Would you all join me as we
pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Steph.
Sue.
Brian.
Pat.
Good. All right. Before we get started, I just want to let everybody know, if you're part of the audience here and you're here as a citizen of Candia, you will have an opportunity to speak and ask questions. But initially, I want the DOT to be able to do their presentation and interact with the board and a few other key members that were part of years ago looking into this change of the traffic pattern out here. And then I'll open it up to anybody that has questions or comments. So, if you guys are ready.
Great. So where would be a great place for me to sit to address the board?
Do you need to sit or you can stand?
I can stand, yeah.
All right, yeah. That's probably a good spot.
Yeah. So thanks everyone. My name is Brett Rusbach. I'm the project manager for the Candia 41592 project. This project is the reconstruction of the intersections of New Hampshire 43 and Raymond Road, circled up on the screen, New Hampshire 43 and Route 27, and New Hampshire 27 and Raymond Road in Candia. And we had an excellent turnout to our public information meeting on November 18th of last year. And so Amy invited me back to speak with the town and kind of summarize and overview the big picture items that we talked about at that meeting. So we're not going to talk in really great detail, one, because I know you have other items on your agenda for tonight, and two, because I think many of the people who may be here have already seen some of these concepts. We haven't made any major changes since then. We have refined some of the cost information, and we'd like to share kind of a summary of what we heard at that public information meeting. So I'll move on. So the mission of the Department of Transportation is serving and connecting New Hampshire through transportation. And our vision is a safe, reliable, connected, and multimodal transportation system managed by a dedicated and skilled workforce. Next slide, please, Mike. So with me tonight, I have Mike Dugas. He's our Greenman Peterson Inc. project manager. They are the consultant assigned with helping us design the work. I have Andrew Martell, who's our lead design engineer. I have Dylan Schmidt, he's our environmental manager. Emma Bell, she's our safety engineer, and transitioning away from the project and transitioning to Michael Shook, our another engineer with our team. We also have Dan Primo, he's been along at the DOT for a long time. He is retiring shortly, so we're gonna lose his expertise, but he's been able to pass along a lot of that to our team. Next slide, please, Mike. So the purpose of the project is to improve the safety and efficiency of the transportation network at the intersections of New Hampshire 43, 27, and Raymond Road. The need for that project is that the subject intersections have poor geometry, they're inefficient, and they lack pedestrian access. The intersection of New Hampshire 43, Raymond Road, and Main Street has a high crash rate with some serious injuries. And further, I know that the Candia transportation plan references a desire to make downtown Candia, the Four Corners intersection, a walkable, livable community center. Next slide, please, Mike. So this slide reviews briefly the National Historic Preservation Act, and Section 106 is the consulting party's status. So big picture is that in accepting federal funds for projects, the NHDOT has to comply with a lot of environmental regulations. And those regulations cover protection of natural resources, but also cultural and historic resources. So there is a process outlined in the pamphlet that Dylan has laid out, a couple of copies on the table back there, where folks who might have a vested interest in a historic feature or property may become consulting parties to the project. And they essentially get invited to additional meetings to share their concerns and have those concerns vetted through the project process. Next slide, please, Mike. So I'd like to turn it over to Mike Dugas. He's going to give an overview of the existing conditions that we're facing at these intersections and some of the alternatives that we've developed.
Thanks, Brett. So again, this is not intended to be the full depth presentation that we gave at the November meeting. This is really an abbreviated recap so we all have an equal understanding of what was discussed. I'll briefly talk about some of the issues that we're trying to address and then talk about the concepts that we developed. So beginning with the intersection of Route 43, which is Main Street, and Raymond Road, the crash history, which is very important to what we choose to do at the intersection, it's pretty substantial. Over a five-year period, we had 30 crashes, resulting in 7 injuries, and 5 of those were serious injuries. Some of the conditions at the intersection lead to those crashes, and the main condition, the main deficiency, is a severe angle that Main Street intersects Raymond Road. It makes sight lines when you're exiting Main Street very difficult, especially looking to the left towards Raymond. It also makes, as shown in the yellow arrow on this picture, makes for high-speed left turns, mostly in the afternoon when people are returning from the area of Route 101 exit 3, heading back into Candia and beyond. People, because of the angle of the intersection, are able to make those turns at high speed. And so it can result in high-speed crashes and lead to the serious injury crashes that have occurred here. So we developed and presented 3 different intersection improvement concepts, really variations of addressing that very severe angle of the existing intersection. The first concept, the first reconfiguration, would realign Raymond Road. So on the right-hand side of the image here, why don't I just point at the screen? Mm-hmm. So Raymond Road today is here, and the existing intersection of 43 and Raymond Road is right here. So this first concept would realign Raymond Road to intersect a design that would provide Route 43 as a continuous movement through the intersection. So this concept would favor the predominant traffic flow. Most of the traffic is coming, driving between exit 3 at Route 101 and Candia, Deerfield, Epsom, that area. That's the heaviest traffic volume. So this concept would accommodate that. The new intersection of Raymond Road and Route 43 Main Street would probably be signalized because it would be a heavy left turn, especially in the morning, turning left from Raymond Road to then head down Old Candy Road towards exit 3. The green shading on this plan and on the following plans shows areas that are pavement today that would no longer be pavement in the future if the intersection were reconfigured like this. And then one other further point I'll mention in passing is, and it really affects all 3 concepts for Route 43 at Main Street that I'll be showing, is on the left-hand side of this image, it shows a realignment of the southerly side of Main Street. We have options there that has some issues similar to the north side of Main Street, but the traffic volumes are so light that they're much less major in nature. So we have the option, as shown in this image, to realign the southerly leg of Main Street to intersect Route 43 Old Candy Road at a better angle for improved sight lines. The intersection could remain as it is today. Again, it has very little traffic. And if that intersection were separated from the northerly intersection of Main Street, as is shown on this, that would address many of the problems that relate to the southerly side of the intersection today. So again, there are some options. They're less critical than the other elements of this design that I just went over. The second reconfiguration would swap the orientation of the main road. So in this case, the main road, the continuous movement through the intersection would be the movement between Old Candy Road on the left side of the image leading directly onto Raymond Road as it does today. Main Street, however, will be realigned so that instead of intersecting at a sharp angle as it does today, right here, it would intersect further up the road, and in this case, opposite the driveway of the Candia Youth Athletic Association driveway. And again, this realignment of the intersection and the previous one, the main intent of that is to give the drivers a clear line of sight to their left and to the right without having to deal with that very sharp angle that they have today. In this case, with Main Street oriented as the controlled or stopped approach of the intersection, it could potentially be controlled by a stop sign because most of the traffic is turning right from Main Street to head to towards exit 3 on 101. But the volume is quite heavy, and so as the design proceeds, we'll have to look more closely as to whether we recommend that be a stop sign or traffic signal for this configuration.
Mike, one thing I wanted to note, the cost estimates you've developed for these projects.
Thank you, Brett. We didn't have cost estimates yet at the November meeting. We have generated them on a concept basis for this meeting. So the estimated cost of the improvement, as is shown here for concept one, is about $4.1 million. Similar for concept two, it's very similar extensive work. This would be about $4 million. And concept three would be reconfiguring the intersection, but instead of either a stop or a traffic signal, reconfigure as a roundabout. It would be situated in essentially the same location as was shown for concept two, so meaning that the fourth leg of this roundabout would lead to the Candia Youth Athletic Association driveway. A roundabout is shown as an option because a roundabout, at the DOT and throughout the transportation industry, we've come to recognize roundabouts as the safest and most efficient form of handling an intersection. And you can see that, it's probably hard to see on this image, but a lot of the work with not only the roundabout concept, but the other concepts, it would be happening in the infield, in the grassy area between the existing Raymond Road and the existing Main Street. And again, I'll just reiterate that the light green shading that you see in a few areas on this image here show areas that are paved today where that pavement would be coming out if it were to be reconfigured like this. So again, those are the three concepts for the intersection of Route 43 and Main Street. The cost of the roundabout is higher. Roundabouts are more costly than other forms of traffic control. We estimate $6.3 million for this layout here. The next intersection we investigated for improvements was the intersection of Route 27 and Raymond Road. It's an intersection with High Street, circled in red on this image. The main issues at this intersection are, again, it's the angle of the intersection between High Street and Raymond Road, which does a couple of things. First of all, it allows for very high-speed movements from Raymond towards downtown Candia, first of all. And it also makes it very difficult because this is an intersection of two state roadways. Technically, the intersection layout is supposed to accommodate all legal vehicles. But we all know that it would be very difficult or impossible for a truck to make either the right turn out of the High Street or the left turn in. So fortunately, despite the poor layout of the existing intersection, we found in studying records from the DMV, there were no crashes in that same 5-year study period.
That's amazing.
And Mike, I will say we did just recently, internally, we looked at some of our updated crash data. We have found some crashes reported at this intersection. They are generally low numbers per year, about 0.4 crashes per year, and mostly those are property damage only crashes. So a more of a nuisance crash type and not necessarily ones that are causing major injuries.
Right. That's a good point, Brett, because this high-speed movement, even though you can't make it at a high speed, the vehicles traveling from Raymond towards the Four Corners aren't crossing the path of any other vehicle. So the one concept that we presented at the November meeting to correct the deficiencies at this intersection, similar to what we had shown at Main Street and Raymond Road, it would realign High Street to intersect Raymond Road at a better angle, closer to 90 degrees. Again, so the traffic can't have a good line of sight looking to the left or to the right from High Street, and would also accommodate turning trucks. Now, I mentioned the turning truck issue as a standard component of the intersections of state highways, but in this area, because of the proximity of Main Street and its intersection to Raymond Road and Old Candia Road, trucks are able to make other connections, so they don't have to make the right turn from High or the left turn into High Street. But nevertheless, this is the design that would typically be required for an intersection of state highways. The estimated cost of this option is $2.3 million. One thing I should mention, in estimating the cost at this early stage, we don't yet have an idea of the cost of two major items. One is private property, because some of these options will impact some private property, either easements or takings to some level, either lesser or greater level. And also, you'll see when I get to the next couple of subsequent slides, the cost of wetland impacts can be substantial. And I'll talk about that a little bit more as we get to that alternative. And then the third location is the Four Corners, so the intersection of High Street and Main Street and Deerfield Road, so 43 and 27. We really don't have geometric issues because the roadways cross at essentially a 90-degree angle, a right angle. So the lines of sight, if there were no obstructions, would be unimpeded. One thing we did investigate as part of our initial study of the concept stage was whether the traffic signals are the right solution for the intersection as it is today. Because in considering the normal traffic volume requirements that pertain to traffic signals, the volumes here are not high enough to technically justify traffic signal. However, we realize that if it weren't signalized, the traffic, especially heading north on Main Street or heading west on High Street, has very poor lines of sight because of the buildings on the corner of the intersection. So there really isn't any chance at this moment to pursue some option other than traffic signals at that intersection. We did find that in that 5-year study period for crashes, there were 8 crashes, but again, property damage only. They tend to be low-speed crashes, either rear enders or low-speed right angle collisions within the intersection. The last deficiency I'll mention with the Four Corners, and Brett mentioned it in the introduction to the project, was deficiency that we've heard from the town for decades now is the lack of sidewalks within the Four Corners. And so in looking at improvement alternatives, it's difficult to see, I apologize on this image, but really the only improvement that we showed within the Four Corners that we presented back in November was the potential to add a sidewalk that would extend from the school at the top of this image, heading down the west side of Main Street, and then continuing into whatever intersection improvements are done at the intersection of Main Street.
So that sidewalk is shown along that shoulder, crossing, and then continuing down here.
And so that new sidewalk would require a crosswalk at the existing traffic signal. And then lastly, the last alternative that we presented at the November meeting was potential bypass of Route 43 around the Four Corners area. This is an idea that arose in the early 2000s, so over 2 decades ago now, within a design charrette that was conducted within the town. And people just simply thought about, is there a way to address the congestion that happens today, mornings and afternoons near the Four Corners, by simply moving Route 43 away from where it is today. So this shows one potential configuration of that alignment. So the yellow line from the bottom to the top of the image shows where Route 43 could be routed from where Raymond Road is at the bottom of the screen here. You can see Main Street here, existing intersections down here. The new alignment would take off just west of the High Street intersection, cross High Street right here, continue behind the fire station, next to the garage right here, extend through the wetlands and woods here, and then return to Deerfield Road at the top of the image. The benefit of this option, again, would take most of the traffic off of the existing Deerfield Road in the vicinity of the school, so that congestion would go away. However, it would be a costly endeavor. Our cost estimate, we had two variations of this configuration. One would be to install a traffic signal where the new 43 and 27 will cross here. And the estimated cost of that option is $6.5 million. And then a second variation would be to replace that signal with a roundabout. And naturally, that is more expensive. And we estimated that cost at $10.2 million. So again, I'd reiterate that these costs do not reflect the cost of property impacts, which on this option are more severe than on the previous options, although probably none of the options are free of right-of-way impacts. And then secondly, you can see the blue areas that are shown on this image the light blue with hatching, those show the approximate areas of wetlands. And one requirement of when DOT impacts wetlands, the project needs to pay into what is known as a mitigation fund for aquatic resources, the ARM fund it's called, at DES. And that could be a costly endeavor to reimburse DES for the value of the impacted wetlands. So that is not quantified yet. As the project proceeds forward, we'll have to, one thing that we will do with the cost estimating is try to capture the costs of those things that we don't have yet.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I can focus on this. So we summarized briefly what the main topics that we heard at the public information meeting. First off, we heard a lot of attendees really interested in improvements at that intersection of Route 43 and Raymond Road as soon as possible because of the crash history out there, the serious crashes that occur. And lots of attendees were very interested in making that happen quickly and also at potentially the minimum cost so that it can happen sooner versus later. There were a lot of attendees who asked if those improvements can be made in the existing footprint of the intersection. And although that would be excellent if we could do that, the geometry does not allow us to do that. So there's simply not enough room within the existing right-of-way to make the improvements that would be needed to improve the geometry based on traffic volumes, based on design speeds, based on providing adequate site distance to make it a safe intersection, that really can't be done within the existing footprint. And that's why it has to be shifted either further north into that infield area that Mike talked about, and also tending towards causing that to cost more than we might want it to cost. So that was one of the big takeaways from our public information meeting. Second is that we didn't really hear, we weren't promoting major work at the New Hampshire 27 and Raymond Road intersection. And what we kind of heard from attendees was that that might be okay if we don't make major improvements there, especially to save limited financial resources to maybe focus them on other more critical areas of the town. Third, we promoted kind of leaving that intersection the way it is, with the exception of it including sidewalk connection between the school and the Youth Athletic Association. And we were happy to hear that some of the town select board members seemed to be in support of that eventual sidewalk maintenance. I know that's a big decision to take on for a town, but what we heard was kind of, yeah, there's a lot of interest in it, and we might be willing to take that on. And then finally, we did a bit of a straw poll at the end of the public information meeting, where we asked attendees to vote on whether they thought an alternative was good, bad, or maybe indifferent. There was support for all of the alternatives, slightly more support for the roundabout alternative at the southernmost intersection, and there seemed to be general lack of support for the bypass alternative, but I also know that this is a big decision for the town. And so we are in no way making any recommendations right now, but what we want to do is provide kind of a summary of the pros, the cons, the risks that might be inherent to the various alternatives, and try what we'd like the select board to offer is a little bit more guidance to the alternatives that we focus our time and attention on more in the future.
So our input, you would consider a lot of our input on which plan you end up doing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, we, being that these are very expensive projects that impact the town in many different ways, and also commuters that come through the town in different ways, we value everyone's opinion, that including members of the public, people who might live along the corridors, people who make decisions for the town. But we do also want to be fully transparent of some of the risks associated with certain alternatives versus others.
Yeah. I'd like to open it up to the board now, if you have any questions or comments that you want to make to the DOT.
As far as the roundabout goes, what is there any particular one without within the state that you would compare the size of it to, as far as the circumference, I guess, of the roundabout itself?
Yeah, I think a good comparison would be Route 20 in Ossipee. That's one of the newer ones the DOT has built, and it is intended to accommodate all legal trucks. The orange donut in the inside, that is a truck apron meant for the back wheels of articulated trucks to make left turns. So it's a
That's what the cobblestones are. That's where the cobblestones are?
It's been concrete in the last decade and a half or so. Before that, it was cobbles, and they were a maintenance headache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's a lot bigger than Goffstown.
Yeah, Goffstown is small. That was built by the town without trucking in mind. Yeah. Henry Bridge, is that the one you're talking about? Or?
Yeah, it's awful.
I had a couple of questions. As far as funding, is this all state funded? Is it matching funds? What's the deal with that?
Yep, this is a federal funded project with state match.
Okay.
And as far as the initial project construction, there's no local match for that. We did explain that if the town were to request installation of sidewalks, there would be potential liabilities associated with that.
For maintenance.
For maintenance, not for construction.
Yep. Right, just for the maintenance afterwards.
So that will lead right into my next question. Purchasing versus eminent domain. I think you used a better name for it than I'm using, but what if someone doesn't want to sell that property?
So at every stage possible, the DOT seeks to reach a negotiated settlement with property owners, and sometimes that can't happen. So in those cases where we could not reach an amicable agreement, we would go through the eminent domain proceedings. And that's partly why most of our projects hold what's called a public hearing, where a commission is established that will determine the net need and public benefit of a project. And that process, if it is approved, allows the use of eminent domain for highway projects.
Other than your bypass version, the other two, really doesn't impact a lot of private property, correct?
Exactly. Right.
Not a lot, but they all impact some, I believe.
The little bit on the main street end there, that in that triangle?
That's right, that grassy area between the roads.
I think part of that's town and part of it is Komisar property.
Mm-hmm. And the
so
other quick...
They will all have impacts upon private property in some fashion.
Right, okay. But the other intersection on 27... and Raymond Road, that doesn't impact much private property, does it?
It's close. It may.
It may.
I think it takes up more space than what's available, again.
Well, obviously, only because you're changing the configuration.
Exactly.
Of it.
That's right.
Okay. But we're not talking about huge.
Not huge.
Parcels.
Yeah. But important to the property owners.
Yeah.
So my other question, is it okay?
Yeah.
Is as far as the sidewalk and like that, I mean, I'm supported because... I believe at this time, financially, we are paying a bus to bring the kids from the school to CYAA, correct,
for practice. For basketball games, yeah.
So financially, that's an aspect we have to consider, maintaining the crosswalk and plowing, is that correct? That would all be a town, okay.
So that might be a wash with the expense of the bus.
Exactly.
Bus is pretty cheap.
It is pretty cheap,
Do you have traffic projections from, like, the past 20 years to now and any future projections of what the traffic may look like 20 years from now?
Yeah, we do a traffic analysis as part of most of our projects. I believe, Mike, we settled a 1% growth rate.
Yeah, thereabouts. But we're not designing this for today's traffic. We're designing this for tomorrow's traffic, so about 20 years into the future.
Yeah. Okay.
In this case, I think our horizon year was 2048, for instance. So, and that is assuming a steady growth of, as Brett said, about 1% per year.
Okay.
And that's taking Deerfield and all the rest
that
uses into consideration.
You brought up accident study that you did at the traffic light at the Four Corners, but those numbers that you came up with were actually after the traffic lights were installed. It wasn't before.
That's with the traffic signal, yes.
Yeah,
right.
Before.
So obviously it should be pretty good.
It should be, right.
Right.
But obviously
prior to the traffic lights.
It doesn't eliminate crashes.
Yeah. Prior to the traffic lights, I think it was worse. Because they do fly from Deerfield headed south there. Good. Anybody else on the board got a question or comment? I'd like to hear from a couple of the individuals that were involved years ago when they first started talking about this concept. One being Tom Severino, I think Scott Komazark is here, and I don't know if anybody else is here that was part of that discussion. Do you have anything to add, Tommy?
I think a roundabout is...
Stand up and take your name, please, for the record.
Tom Severino. I like the roundabout idea. I mean, obviously, everyone voiced their opinion on the bypass, and I just, I can't see impacting that many people with something, to try to get that road through there. If there was no property impacts, that'd be one thing if it was all town land, but in this case, there's minimal impacts for the roundabout. I just think the roundabout's better than the intersection to keep traffic moving through there. And same with the intersection on the opposite side. I think it's a minor impact to our property. So to square that intersection up, or because there's so minimal accidents at that end, that, or we just don't do anything at all on the opposite side. Right there. I think that's what you're mentioning, is possibility that you don't need to do anything at that intersection. So
right, that is an option. Yep.
I could go either way there.
The amount of near misses at that intersection are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Waze or what it does, but I follow people through the intersection and watch them try to make a left there. I don't know if it's the GPS takes them to that intersection. It's like you just missed your left.
Yes.
And now they're sitting there trying to make a left. So it's an aggravating intersection, and that's a nice, easy, inexpensive, seems like, fix. And we're more than happy to help property-wise. We have no issue with it, so I do like it. It's just really a matter of budget for meeting all the other more important needs. We wouldn't want to see that get done if it hurt getting the roundabout done. So I don't know what funds are available or what the total budget is, but to me, the roundabout is number one. That intersection is definitely a no-brainer.
Well, if you did both the roundabout and that, you're looking at probably around $10 million, right?
Thereabouts, based on the early numbers.
That's what I thought.
Without the sidewalks, so they...
No, that's counting the sidewalks.
Oh, with the sidewalks.
Yep.
Okay.
That's counting the roundabout and intersection, changing that, is roughly $10
million. While this option is on the screen, one variation that we didn't talk about in November, and it kind of came up later, talking at the DOT, was one option on the table could be if improvements were made at 43 and Raymond Road, could this be closed off? Could that intersection be eliminated? Mm-hmm. One downside or one argument against that might be that any trucking, for instance, going between Hooksett and Raymond will then have to make a left or a right turn through the four corners. And that really isn't
suitable
for trucking.
Yeah, I don't think eliminating that intersection is probably a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You all set, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Scott, you got any comments?
I was involved.
Stand up and state your name and everything, please.
Scott Komisar. I was involved. I was on the master plan committee, and I was on the transportation subcommittee. And the concern that I brought up was the safety issue there, which you guys are really, addressing. And we kind of went back to the charrette and all that, and that was the bypass. It seems though there's limited support. I think the bypass with the actual circle, at the end of the day, if you had all the money that you needed, would be, would be the best solution, because then you'd have all four coming into one, but it's the most costly, and it seems like it has limited support at this point. So I'm just happy to see that we're addressing the main concern, which is the safety with 43 and 20 sub,
Was there anybody else that was on that original committee that's here? Okay. I guess at this point, anybody that's got any questions or comments? Tim?
Sure. Tim Darcy, Planning Board. The first two options, to me, are not options. They don't really fix the problem. They just relocate it. I don't see where that helps at all. I think the two traffic circles by far make the most sense. I think I'll throw a little hat in the ring here on the bypass from a town planning perspective. I think makes some sense because it gets traffic out of the Four Corners and the quote-unquote village district and the school. Understand it's more expensive, but I think if that option happens, you could actually shut the southern end of Main Street off and save the $2 million from that intersection, and now it's the same price as doing the other roundabout, right? Because you're not going to have anybody cutting through the center of town, and I think that helps with people who are like, I'm not dealing with the roundabout, I'm going to blow through town, and keeps people away from the schools, which is kind of a big thing. We have real problems with traffic through that, especially when the parents are there in the morning, and there's cars all over the place. Both sides of the road are filled with cars, and you got people blowing down from Deerfield, right? So I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater in the bypass because of that safety concerns in the village district and preserving that a little bit. And I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't see why we can't just close the southern end of Main Street and prevent people from blowing through there and save $2.3 million.
One thing I can clarify with the south end of Main Street is that with the bypass concept, it'd be very simple. It would be a very simple connection between Raymond Road and Main Street. So it wouldn't have the expensive reconfiguration that concepts 1 through 3 showed.
Okay.
So there's really no big savings to be had in that location on this concept.
I think from a town planning perspective, the only two options are the two roundabouts. The others, well, they may be less expensive. You know, it's like buying the Yugo versus buying the Ford or Chevy. Yeah, you save money, but you really didn't accomplish what you set out to do, and you guys be back here in 10 years.
Thank you. State your name.
John Adams, 946 High Street. Simple question, I'm assuming you guys must have did this, is a simple traffic study of reducing the speed through the intersection, and what did that come out?
Yeah, we haven't investigated reducing the speed limits. The speed limits are set statutorily, so there are a lot of rules that apply. The speed limits could be investigated on the existing roadways as they are now, not even just the future, but even now. But there are limitations as to what kinds of changes could happen because of state law.
Well, as you get off of exit 3, it's 35, and then it goes to 50, and then it goes to 45.
Yeah.
It would be nice to kind of standardize the speed limit so that it's more of a standard. But
agreed, and that's an issue throughout the state when there's variable speed limits like that. Yeah.
And then the other question was, is the two options, which you guys, the options are great. The one with an intersection light, the value of that is fairly high, probably close to $500 to $1 million itself. If we're going to spend anything on a signal, we're rather just spending it in a roundabout.
Mark Schalbeck, Port Oak Road. Looking at all the different concepts, one thing, also being a school board member, I got to think about the safety of the kids, the parents dropping off. Is there any width on that road length in front of the school where we can shift something so we can have room for these cars for the people so they're not getting driven and there's not going to be an accident because somebody's going to get to work and they're flying through because they're late and I got parents trying to drop kids off? Have you looked at that?
I think not as a dedicated part of this project.
Because I don't believe there's much room on the left side.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to force anything, your right-of-way is more on the right side of the road, heading north.
But it's quite narrow. It's probably more there, but it's small.
Well, not like when you get in the village and you're only, what,
yeah.
two rods, three rods?
Probably three.
Sorry.
So I want you to think, from a school board member, I need you to think the safety of the kids and the families that are there.
Yes, B-U-S. B-U-S.
Higgins, go ahead. State your name and...
Mike Hickey, I live across the street from the school, 23 Deerfield Road. Back at the bypass situation you have there, a few of my questions is, now, what's gonna happen as you come up the hill from Deerfield into this bypass? What happens to the existing road now by the school fire department?
Yeah, so on this concept, one thing we had to keep in mind was, because that hill does end right about here, we had to extend this line so drivers coming up the hill see that the road's curving before they get to the crest of the hill. So we've shown a connection at the north end of the bypass. The road here could come out. The road here in front of the school would remain as it is. It would simply have maybe a tenth of the current traffic volume that it does today.
And what about the fire department access coming out of there, out of the fire department? Where are they going
to
go?
So they would still have the same access today. One thing that's important to mention that you bring up, I'm glad you did, is that if a new Route 43 were to be built, most likely the existing Route 43 would become a town road. And so the town would have jurisdiction over what happens on that road.
So would they have 500 feet of road that would have to maintain?
But your grant would increase your block grant.
Yeah,
that's true. Oh, it would increase?
That's true.
Okay.
$0.50 or something like that.
Yeah. Include the sidewalk
in
that, too.
And again, it goes back to what Mark was saying here with the school traffic in the morning. Now, I've been in that place for over 30 years. The traffic going in and out of the school morning and night has become absolutely ridiculous. So, again, if that road is theoretically not dead-ended, it's still accessible, where is all the traffic going to feed in from? If they're coming from, say, High Street down here, how do they get into that part of the school? They're still going to turn here by the
Four corners still exist.
The four corners are still going to exist.
Yeah.
Right.
So, in a sense, you're thinking you're going to eliminate traffic. But the reality of it is we're not eliminating roads. We're just hoping that
all the school traffic will still be here.
All the school traffic is still going to be there. Any other traffic's going through. Mm-hmm. You have, and again, we talked about the sidewalks. We're already limited in space going through the school as it is. So you continue to take more from people to add this in there. There's a significant impact that's going to happen there. Right? Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
So, again, next question that nobody has brought up at this meeting or at the other meeting, have you given any consideration to, I realize it's only once a year, but the fair traffic through Deerfield Fair. Once again, I've been in this town for over 30 years, traffic will be stopped for miles back to that highway sometimes. And not only just can say once a year for the fair, happens a lot. We have horse shows, we have the antique show last year concerned quite a chaos on this end and the Deerfield end. Not that the Deerfield end has anything to do with us here today, but I'm just saying, again, there's a huge traffic impact there. Mm-hmm. How is that going to flow through, rather be the bypass or a traffic circle?
The bypass, I don't think that really changes anything. You'd still have to have officer control. We're 27 and 43 cross.
Well, we don't have officer control now.
Exactly.
No offense to you.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, we have not had officer control out at this intersection or any of them in, I don't know, at least
probably
4 or 5 years.
That's a fast.
And I'll get to that next, exactly.
I'm sorry.
That's a fast intersection, too, to stick an officer.
I agree. I would never. I wouldn't want to be the guy standing out there either. I'm just saying, he said it would take off, officer impact. It shouldn't, because we haven't used it yet.
So a couple points I'll make that regarding the roundabout option that you brought up is, first of all, it slows down all the traffic going through it, so it's a safer environment for an officer to stand. If you think about inbound traffic in the morning of Deerfield, traffic is heavily coming this way. The only control that would be needed, the only traffic movement that conflicts with inbound traffic, is the left turn from here. So one officer controlling that entry to the roundabout. They can stop that traffic and flow unimpeded through the roundabout inbound. And similar outbound, when traffic is coming down Main Street and wants to go to 101, the only movement that conflicts with that movement is people coming in from Raymond Road. So one officer right here could let that traffic flow free. So it actually works out really easily for police control.
It's still not going to control the backup.
No, I mean, the volume is just overwhelming, so there's only so much you can do, right. But that won't be the cause of the backup.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying.
And realistically, it would be not a wise investment of taxpayer dollars to design a intersection here for 10 days out of the year.
So, oh, I agree. However, it's going to make an impact.
Yes.
No matter how you look at it.
So, yes, we would never promise that the impacts from the fair would go away. Because
that'll
that's
take
not
a lot
realistic.
More than this.
No, we just need another whole route.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Nobody? Wow.
May I be asked one more question?
Absolutely.
I'm going to be brutally blunt. How many people does each plan impact as far as purchasing an eminent domain? I feel strongly about those. Not the purchasing, but the eminent domain.
So,
do you have it labeled how many impacts for each?
We don't yet. It would be easy to come up with that. Clearly, a bypass has the most impacts.
Right.
It's a half dozen or so different properties, I would guess. Mm-hmm. But don't hold me to that number.
No.
And the other options are 1 to 2 properties impacted for each. And the impacts are not the same for each one either. Some of the impacts
right,
are
the
slight,
right.
Some of the impacts are greater.
Right, sometimes it's land, sometimes it's a home.
But that will all be quantified in greater detail in the next step of the design process.
All right.
But you want our input for which step should be the next step, is that correct?
Yes. So what we've tasked GPI to do up to this phase is alternatives analysis. So they're taking a high-level look at all the options on the table,
okay.
What might be possible. As we go through the next phase, which is what we call the preliminary design phase of the project, that's where we continue to refine those alternatives, look at really a lot closer at pros versus cons, impacts and costs. We did talk about this a little bit, but one of the risks associated with the bypass alternative is that as part of our federal funding regulations, we have to meet something called the National Environmental Policy Act.
That was another
question. And that generally requires that you evaluate all alternatives for a project and choose the one that meets the stated purpose and need of the project while also minimizing the adverse
impacts
mm-hmm. to the greatest degree possible. So while we're not saying that we are eliminating the bypass alternative because it could be a viable option, I think that there are higher risks associated with that. And it may end up being a non-permittable option for the project.
Yeah, because I believe the ultimate goal would have been the bypass, only because
yeah,
it eliminates the traffic in front of the school, Four Corners, that whole area. Plus, it allows traffic to flow better. But I understand where this gentleman's coming from. If I lived there, I wouldn't be excited about it either. But
I'm also at 23 Deerfield Road. One of my questions probably has nothing to do with the traffic, more to do with the school board, is when we moved in there, there was hardly any parent traffic, or they dropped off the kids and they played out in the yard until school bell rang. And now, hardly anyone puts their kid on the school bus anymore. So, hence the extra traffic waiting
Absolutely.
To get in there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't there be a way to go in through the library, have a couple of different accesses for the parents?
I think you might have to direct that to the school board at one of their meetings.
Yeah.
Buses,
I think that would help a lot.
I think the buses go
out
that way.
Traffic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mark brings up a good point and your point also. So with the school traffic, again, knowing the bypass is, probably a pipe dream just between home and land impacts and wetland impacts. I mean, we don't want to start heading down a path that we may never accomplish something. But if the school traffic, it's a question for you guys on funding, is a big part of this, and the town was willing to help with their property takings, either through the state or through their own use of, we're going to create this pull-off area between having the fire department on one side or the plenty of room in the school slash over the library, if we had to make a turnout or a pull-off area, would that be part of the funding that could be reimbursed through this process to do some of that work to alleviate getting these people off of the road or out of the way, because it does inevitably help with the traffic? Is that something that if we collectively came up with something or a plan through the town?
That's a great question, Mr. Severino. I don't have an answer for that right now.
Okay.
I think if it could be shown that the stated goal would meet the purpose and need of the project and they align, then probably yes, it could be part of a reevaluation of a project and funding and priorities. And that decision would, I don't know exactly how that decision would pan out, but I can look into it.
Sure.
No, not me.
Stand up, yeah.
Tyler Frazier, 437 New Boston Road. So the circle would be going on reroute 43, and then also coming around the corner by Goss Old Place. All three projects would be going on at the same time.
Yes, as far as the traffic control phasing, that isn't determined yet. These would likely all be parts of the same project, but when specifically each of those parts happen, that would probably be figured out in a couple of years.
Okay. And then, like, I see, like, there you were talking about getting kids from school to CYA. The slowest route would be circle, because no matter what you do, if you use those other two options, the people are still going to be going fast, and nobody's going to want their kid walking from the school to the CYA. There's no way nobody's going to slow down. The slowest traffic would be, obviously, to do the circle. That would be pretty good. And I just see that, you know, the traffic in the morning, just coming from somebody that has kids that go to the school, you know, bus routes, no kid wants to sit on the bus for an hour, just how it goes. It's easier for parents, quicker, in and out, drop kids off and go, versus, okay, got the kid on the bus. It's just sometimes they're sitting on the bus for a little too long and just things like that. That's why I think a lot of parents, you know, drop off or pick up, just for the time thing. You know, some kids don't get home till, my son doesn't get home till a little after 4. So, I mean, he's sitting on the bus all day, so it's easier just to pick somebody up and, like, get on with your life. I mean, it's a whole hour of their day that's wasted on the bus. So, coming from somebody that has kids there, that's probably why there's more traffic, because there's just a lot of, you know, traveling around with the bus. But I was just curious if these projects all at the same time, or maybe circle first, which one you would tackle first if you were going to do all three at the same time.
Anybody else? Yeah, in the back.
Yeah, Kim Marino, 39 Deerfield Road. What is the timeline of the project? Like, from decision made, is it the town making the decision, you're making the decision, like, and then, like, from there, how long is it projected?
Thank you. Great question. So we, typically for projects, we assume a 5-year timeline between initiation and advertisement for construction. Each project's different. Certainly a long corridor project would have a longer time frame, just with all the extra work that goes into it. Intersection projects tend to be on the lower time frame. This one is kind of in the middle, because we're essentially talking about 3 intersections. So I had shared earlier, at the very earliest, we might be looking at a potential 2029 construction, but it could be 2030 or later, depending on how long it takes to get through the process. One thing that does take a long time is property negotiation and the appraisal process and working with property owners. That tends to be what takes the longest for some of our projects, and that's partly why our longer corridor projects take longer. even if we're not taking, not acquiring whole properties, it's really the same amount of effort, even for a small easement, to negotiate and execute as it is for a much larger acquisition. So I would say 2029 at the earliest, potentially a couple of years out.
Does that mean, like, we as an abutter and part of this project, if our land was being appropriated, like, before the project starts, like, how far in advance are we notified of, like, that negotiation?
Okay, yeah, great question. So as part of, I mentioned earlier, the public hearing for projects is when we establish, or we hope to establish, the need and public benefit of a project. And as part of that hearing, we will send certified letters to all property owners that would be directly affected by a project. And that typically happens between 1 year and 2 years before a project goes to construction.
Mark?
Just one last question, Chalbeck, Port Oak Road. Are you able to do a study when our parents are dropping off at the school and stuff like that to see the traffic congestion and the near misses that happen on a daily basis?
Mike, do you know if that study has been part of the previous?
It hasn't been.
Projects?
No. We looked only at the intersections.
It is.
Okay.
Would you please do that?
Yeah, I think it is relevant to the scope of the project, and we can.
And then, as like Mr. Severino said, then we can come up with a better plan. Certain amount of room to turn off and whatever.
Okay.
John, did you have anything you wanted to add, or?
Yeah, just a couple things. First of all, I'll stand up. John Steven, and executive counselor. So I eventually will probably be voting on any of the project costs at the end. So the town's input is important to me as a counselor. That's why I'm here to listen. And but I did advocate to make sure we got dollars into the 10-year highway plan for this project, no matter which way it goes, just to make sure you all have the money. Just put aside, because we're in a very tight budget year, a few years, we have about a $400 million deficit in the highway fund. They want toll increases on the highway, on the turnpikes. They want to do additional gas tax. People are hurting too, and I don't want to see anything increase. I don't want to just live within our means. That's just me. So I fought hard to make sure we get the funding in the highway plan. It's currently in there. It's still going through the legislative process, so that's not over yet. So we have to monitor that closely. So I think it's about $5.5 million that we ended up negotiating for this project. So to me, you know, I just want to be able to fight for the town and make sure you get the dollars you need for the project that you all vote for and decide. I mean, interestingly, the bypass, I was remembering when I was a young kid in Grant Blend's yard, I was picking blueberries, right, where the bypass is going to go through. That was my grandfather's home. So there's a lot of impacted issues that potentially right-of-way purchase, land purchase, easement, those are difficult issues, and those take time. And so in the highway plan, there's a design phase, then there's a time for construction, and it's usually pushed out to 2029, 2030. But again, it's really important to make sure that you continue to work with the great folks at DOT to get them to advocate for you as well. Because if you're not, I mean, there's so much pressure to move things out of the highway plan right now, all right? And exit 6 and 7 in Manchester is a big priority of mine, too, because there are people. There are cars driving at 85 miles an hour while people are standing still on an exit ramp. And there are fatalities that have happened. And I can't even, I got that in at the governor's phase, but they took it out recently in the House. So I mean, we're fighting for all these priorities, but Candia is going to be okay, I think. It looks right now, and I'll keep the select board notified. The other issue for me, too, is the school. And I'm very hearing what you're saying and receptive to that. John O'Neill's with my, you know, he's my UNH roommate and best friend and best man, and he's a civil engineer, and Johnny helped me on my campaign issues. And when we talk about civil engineers, and you know, Tom, you're here, and Ronnie's a great friend, you've got great expertise here. But as Johnny knows, we fought for Barrington, because Barrington had an issue in a school where there were potential crashes, and I want you to explain what we ended up coming to a solution, and there was a study, and we ended up having DOT come in, and we didn't have to make major improvements. And it was just, it was something that was done because we had more attention to it. And DOT came in and they changed, maybe it was the speed. I think it was the speed limit.
We put speed signs up. We put lights up, flashing. We got a crosswalk for brand new condominium that had a young child that was walking across the road. And DOT was receptive and they brought it right up right away and got it done. Very similar, we have these crosswalks that may or may not be populated, but we have to assume that once you put them in, people are going to use them. And we had talked at the last meeting about the four-way has the ability to light and signalize where there's a crosswalk, and it might, the roundabout, you have a walkway on a roundabout, and we'll need officer control and things of that nature for protection. So it's something you're going to deliberate that's good for the town. But Councilor Stevens has been an advocate of the school zone safety, and we have supported that and discussed it with DOT, and they've been very receptive. So if the town can air that out, we're going to be there and make sure that council will be there to make sure that we get the funding that's needed for those types of things and support DOT. They're
and the a wonderful other thing, organization. The other thing, too, is the public hearing process. That's a really critical juncture. So once you start thinking of the design, you pick the, where you want to go, stay close working with DOT. But when you have that public hearing, that's important. There'll be a lot of notes taken. But the councilman in the district, myself, gets to pick the three commissioners. So I would definitely want to hear from the select board in the town, too. I want to make sure we get the right people that will be sitting there evaluating and come up with the final design and the final approval, because that's going to be an important milestone as well. But I guess my big takeaway here is I'm going to stay engaged. You know, I know that the chairman has contacted me in the past. I'll be at whatever meeting I need to be at, but just know that I'm available. But I will fight to continue the funding. If this goes to the roundabout and other areas and ends up being a $10 million project, you know, we need to just know that so we can try to see if we can get the dollars in there that we need. And the longer you delay decisions, the longer you wait and vacillate and not come up, there's a chance that you're bumped out of that 10-year plan. You don't want that. So that's really important here. So I think we're all set right now as far as at least $5.5 million, I believe, is in the plan. And we could add more if down the road if we have to. We have to really fight. But come up with your decisions collectively, the best decisions when you're all working together, and I can go back and say, look, this is so important to the town. And remember, we have five counselors, and the others are colleagues of mine, and they all want things in their districts, too. Mm-hmm. So we'll work together to make sure you get what you need.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Anything else?
What's our time frame? When do you need a decision or a communication from the board on?
We don't need a decision.
You need to move forward with this plan, that
or
plan.
Or preference.
So we don't need a decision, but it would be useful to have a general gut feeling.
Direction.
From the board. Yes. What's the approach that we really want to focus on here? Now, we're not saying that through the preliminary design process we have to eliminate any of the options at all. We can continue to evaluate them more, but as our counselor mentioned, the longer that process mm-hmm. takes, then there are, you know, essentially costs on the back end. So our goal is to stay in open and transparent communication with the Board of Selectmen of Candia and also the members of the public who might be affected by the project. We are planning at least one, likely two more public information meetings for this project.
Before you make any decision on a plan?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And what we like to do is, at that final public information meeting where we want to exit the meeting, having a preferred alternative.
Okay.
What we might come with a few alternatives still, but we might say, okay, after hearing all the pros and cons, this is what we think is the best alternative for this project, and we hope to have your concurrence.
And at that point, then the board can give you their blessing too, correct?
Yep.
And so as far as the community members who are going to be affected by moving or purchasing their land and like that, we could just go on the tax map ourselves, correct? From what you're going to supply?
We can give you a rough estimate of order, not order of magnitude, but we can tell you whether it's, you know, zero to five parcels, five
right.
to ten.
Is it right. land? Is it a home? Is
yeah.
it okay?
Good.
Thank you.
Anybody else? See nothing? All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Appreciate you for coming.
This is a great discussion. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Whatever you need.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good seeing you again.
Same here.
Come on, Patrick, up and at him. Thank you. Good job.
My shoulder doesn't stretch out like that.
Mine does. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Let's get it done. This is good. This is exciting.
You just need more money.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd say like
another million.
Oh, then they don't know the other
one. Could be 10. Well, don't forget, if you look at the, you're talking about the bypass, those are just aerial. So they tend to be a little bit less when you get out there, but you also have a lot of right of way that used to be wetlands there, especially down the hill. You have that big area that the road went through, so you can replace what you took. It's really.
We just have 7 million
to donate. Donate the wetlands?
No,
donate the land?
They own half of it.
Yeah. Well, they own the Montauk or Dorrance? They own the bypass lane, that field
yes.
that was from.
Oh, they own half of it.
No, but it's
between Scott and Severino.
Can I have your attention? We still have more business to do. So,
Brian, I'm going to help.
Thank you.
All right, thanks again.
You're going to get an email.
Thank you. Perfect.
Thank you,
boy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We'll see you guys.
We're
bye, gonna, boy.
We're going to pull that discussion on that.
Thank you very much.
Impact, I think.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I think we're. I think we might be.
You don't want to?
I guess we will. Let me. I just want to talk to Johnny for a minute.
All right, go ahead. We got a couple things here. All right.
The minutes?
We have the minutes
Oops.
Of March 9th.
And I wanted to add something at the end.
Yeah?
I'll wait till Linda can listen.
Yeah,
I wanted to add something to Linda. And she said something about conservation instead of conversation, but that's okay. I don't like that you left out that we thanked you for doing all this work. I think you were trying to be not conceited, and you left that out. So I'd like to put that in there somewhere, maybe at the end, that if it's not the board, at least I thank you very much for all the work you're doing.
Thank you.
There's a space there on 112?
Yeah, there we go. Wherever she wants it under the 250.
Put it on 112.
But 103 is 250 celebration. I really appreciate it.
Is there any other corrections, or?
No, that was all of my yeah. Is
the motion to accept is corrected?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Sue?
Warren.
Brian?
Pat.
Perfect. All right. We'll hold off for a second on
the, room clears
on the impact. Mark, can you guys either finish it up here or out there or somewhere? The department oversees there, oversights what the departments that we oversee.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a motion unless somebody wants to change to keep the same?
Oh, that's fine.
Does anybody want to change something?
No, I'm okay with that.
That's a motion?
There's a new one, though.
Anybody second it? Or?
Oh, there's a new... This. Oh,
yeah, there's one new one.
Oh, what is it?
That it probably goes to you, Sue.
Yeah, for the...
Oh. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What is it?
All right.
For the farmer's market?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a motion that Sue made. Is anybody second it?
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Corey. Brian. Okay.
Did you add that farmer's market yet?
Yes.
Okay.
She just added that.
I'd like, Amy and I talked about adding one more thing to this list, and that would be a liaison to the assessor
to determine if there's any new state laws that require our response, whether our elderly exemptions are adequate and the disabled exemptions are adequate.
Personally, I don't think it's necessary because that's usually done through the office anyway.
And Linda, right?
And they have a
seat. Well, through Linda and Amy.
The assessor.
Okay.
I mean, I just think it's another added position that doesn't need to be there.
So the liaisons will be the same as they were last year?
Correct. Okay. With the one addition to the farmer's market.
Sure.
Sue.
Yeah.
All right. And then we have to do the chair. Chair and vice chair.
Oh, I wanted to keep it the same.
Is that a motion?
I want to make a motion to keep it the same, Brian as chair.
I agree. Second.
Okay. No other comment? All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
And I nominate.
Thank you. I appreciate the confidence.
Thank you.
You okay with that, Pat?
I am. Thank you very much.
Brian, I did come back, just so you know.
You are?
I'm back, yeah.
You want to discuss it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had pardon?
Impact fees, is
yeah,
that
impact
we're
fees.
To? Okay.
This is a discussion. Scott had contacted me and Tim, and he asked if he should put it on the agenda, and I said absolutely. So if you want to go ahead and speak, Scott, go ahead.
Yep. Scott Komisarek. I have the project at 23 Main Street. I'm here with Jim Logan. He's got the 48 single-family detached 55-plus on High Street. And Jim and I were talking, and we were looking at the impact fees. We were also looking at our impact on the budget and our tax revenue. And we have, in our projects, we have our own trash pickup. We take care of our own roads. We plow our own roads. And we are on a state road. So when you look at the impact fees that we're going to be paying.
Plus school.
What's that?
Plus school.
No school.
No school.
No
oh,
school.
You did put the school in it?
No.
Well,
no school
pays for
either.
School.
No impact
right, there's
fees.
No school.
There's
I think,
no school.
I think, and Boyd, I think, is aware, you know, like this project up here, the hundreds of thousands
right.
of dollars a year that brings in, I mean, fundamentally, there's really no cost to the town. I mean, it's the school budget. Isn't they don't use the police. They don't use that, you know, the.
Yeah,
they do. Any, there's really no, it's almost pure revenue. You know, Boyd's smiling. Boyd's like, you know.
I did the math, Scott.
You did the math, okay? And so, and we look at, you know, this impact on Jim would be in total about $150,000 on me, probably 60-something thousand. I'm paying tens of thousands of dollars to, you know, for the building inspector does a great job. Rich, love him, you know, but those fees went up. So you add those up over all these buildings, same thing with Jim. And then our tax revenue per year when we're done will probably be around $700,000 annually. So we just thought it just to appeal to the board and see if you would consider in helping us out and giving us a little bit of some relief on this impact fee. Just based on the fact that we don't really feel like we're having the impact. Again, the roads were on a state road, we're going to go to exit 3 or his project is going to go out to Hooksett. Same thing with the solid waste. So I know we don't have any real leverage in the negotiation, but it's just considering the overwhelming revenue that it brings in and the continued escalation of costs, and we're trying to keep, you know, then the market's saying, hey, you can only be here. We're just reaching out to the board and, you know, letting you know our thoughts. You want to say?
I personally don't have, I think it's a no-brainer. It makes sense.
No, I love Scott. I disagree.
Well, this isn't a personality thing.
Yeah.
This is
no, but I it's nothing personal, and I like the everything you're doing. There's a person who owns a company in Candy with no kids at all, no impact to the school at all, and he pays the second most taxes in the town.
But this is a brand new project. I know what you're talking about.
We're talking about a project.
That
right,
is.
But he didn't get a break on his project.
Well, we can't go backwards.
So what I'm just thinking is, what is the ruling? What's the rule?
Right now,
on impact fees. So, like, at what part of your project are you?
The school, the solid waste.
No. Like, what part of their project would they have to pay the impact fees? Like, so you're going to be done June?
Oh, we'll be conveying our first unit in early May, the second unit in early June. So,
I mean, what part of the impact fees will they be paying?
Yeah. Like right now, if there's no exception, when are they?
The purpose of the impact fee is when you have big developments and you go out on a, say you go out on a, one of our rural roads and you do a subdivision and you got a bunch of kids going to school and they're going over the roads and they're impacting the roads or they're taking trash or they're using the services and they really truly create an impact. If you really look at the impact, all the impact that we create is just positive cash flow to the town all day long.
Scott, you do use the town roads. You do use a recycling center.
No, okay, they don't.
Wait a minute. We're on state. You know that the ordinance, we have to be on a state road, right? So mm-hmm. You know that in my project, they're not going to be going out on it, you know, just unless they're going for a country ride. They're going to go right down exit 3 or they're going to go to Hooksett. Okay. Same thing with Jim. They're going to go to Hooksett. We're both going to have trash pickup. And again, I know I really don't have any leverage here, and you guys are, well, hey, we need the revenue, but I'm just saying, I think if you look at the proposition to the town, if you look at $700,000 annually, I don't know what our total, what's our total budget right now for the town?
$4 million.
And we're going to be kicking in, and if you add this one, that's going to be over $1 million a year annually from these projects in revenue. So all we're simply asking is for you guys to help us a little bit as we invest in this town, and we try to do a successful project and look at the big picture in the long term and say, hey, let's be equitable. That's what we're asking. And we know it's the law. We got these projects approved and we knew that they were going to be impact fees.
Right.
So you can make that argument, and I respect Sue's point of view. I respect everybody's point of view. No problem if you say, you know, you say no.
I think it's a reasonable request for the solid waste and for the school.
Yeah, I just, what's the percentage of impact fees? Like, so when would your neighborhood start paying full-on tax? Next 27? So it just covers for the end of the year, right?
It's a one-time.
No, they have to pay that before they get the CO.
Yeah, one-time deal.
Before he gets anybody in there, you have to pay it.
So what's the percentage of, like, how does this all calculate out? You know what I mean? Like, how do we?
Well, there's
a formula.
Tell us what the numbers are.
Go ahead, Tim. Yeah.
So it's the planning board has calculated. Yeah. We had to go through a whole process. We did the 10-year capital improvements plan, blah, blah, blah. Southern Hampshire planning went through a whole process. I didn't know we were going to talk about this tonight. So
I thought we were going to get the impact fees, but I guess.
Yeah, and so the situation is that through formulas and stuff, we created impact fee of the school. You know, and I think school and roads had one before. Mm-hmm. School, roads,
right.
Solid waste, and public safety have all now
right.
Four impact fees.
School
and yet those get assessed one-time fee per
school
unit
just passed.
When the CO is issued. So it's not a continuing revenue. It doesn't have any effect on the property tax. The property tax happens when it happens.
Okay.
But that's
so one shot there. Once they pull the building permit, they've got to pay it. In their case, we gave Scott a waiver that he has to pay it before he gets
right.
A CO.
Right. I remember that. That was a couple years ago.
Tim, does the planning board, do they have a consensus on this? The planning board?
Of this particular issue you guys are talking about? Or the
yeah.
So were the impact fees designed to work around them? Or
no.
Were they designed to utilize them?
Right.
That's my question.
They were designed as a blanket.
Right, it's a blanket thing that applies to everybody.
Right, and school, and I think solid waste only apply to residential, but highway and public safety
correct.
Apply to any development at all.
So, excuse me, school is in there now? Because it wasn't before. When did that go in? It's got to be recently.
That's right.
Not that long ago.
It just
went. Yeah, we just put it in. And I don't
know.
What?
School
I mean, like a month ago. A
couple months ago?
Yeah.
Three months at the most?
Yeah, okay.
I don't think Scott gets, I'm pretty sure Scott does not get school. But
I don't think
sure.
He does.
I'm not sure, Jim, if you
yeah.
Got it
was
or
it
not.
2 months ago that it went in or three? It wasn't very long
well, actually,
ago.
Actually, right, it was the start of January. So
yeah.
Correct.
So he doesn't get it anyway.
School.
That won't affect him.
I mean, they are investing in the town. That's a point.
The school is the only thing that I could see even moving on, and it's not included in it, so it doesn't
right.
Matter.
Mark?
Exactly. So it
Mark
doesn't
Mark Schalbeck, Road. As a member of Rockingham, you know, were our taxes reduced by that also?
Say that again, Mark.
Our
what?
Tax impact for the building?
I mean, we're still working on that to try to figure that whole thing out, but no.
What?
Mark, so it's the Masonic Lodge. Lodge is what
I'm talking
about. That's a lodge.
Didn't know what building you were talking about.
The Masonic Lodge.
That's all, like, we're hindered by law.
Yeah, we cut it. We cut it. Rick came in and we had another discussion about that.
Not going to happen.
We couldn't.
Okay. Well, it's still at the state level. It hasn't been voted on to repeal it.
Tyler Fraser.
Tyler?
I know both these guys. I know Jim. I've known him for 20 years. And I know Scott. So you tell me all these older people that are going to live in this community that have, you know, they're all retired. They're not going to try to save a few bucks and not get their trash paid to pick up. They're just going to, on a Wednesday afternoon around noontime when the dump opens, they're not going to go get their trash. You know, you're not going to put it in the dump for free. They're going to pay somebody to go pick it up when they have all the time in the world.
It's all part of their condo.
I don't disagree with
you. I like these guys. I work for both of them. I know. I like them. I just, it doesn't make any sense.
All right. We're not on a personal comp. Yeah.
So, but it's just not affecting the property tax going forward. It's just the
No, it's just a one-shot deal. Yeah.
My only thing is setting a precedent.
Right, exactly.
Every decision we make sets a precedent.
It does.
Don't be scared.
I mean, it's not like there's a lot of development going on. Don't be scared. Anyway, so, but...
John, go ahead.
Yeah, Brian. I'm a public safety designer. I work for Lavalle Brunsinger Architects. We deal with basically police and fire all the time, and to try to get anything passed for police and fire is always troubling. Impact fees is what helps the police and fire get our projects passed. And I find it really hard to believe that a 55 and older community is not going to take advantage of the EMS services.
Exactly.
So one point or another, unless you have your own service, which I highly doubt, is that giving favor to...
It's not fair.
That hasn't panned out up here, John. It hasn't been a huge increase.
I'm just saying is what's fair is fair to everyone.
And exactly. Social Security pays for your ambulance service. So any retired person, the Social Security is going to... Yeah.
You know what they give? Do you know what our Medicare gives?
Yeah, but it's a small amount. It's not the real bill.
Yeah, you don't
want if you do supplemental, you get the whole thing paid off.
Yeah, but a few do.
You get paid every time that meat wagon rolls, somebody's writing a check.
For $200 for a $1,000 trip.
No, I paid $1,300, so maybe
you're one of the nice ones.
You're one of the good ones. We have many that don't pay.
I guess to my last point is the impact fee was in place for a reason.
Right.
And a reason wasn't to give leniency to specific
to anybody.
People. No,
that's there.
No, you know, in regards against these two gentlemen, but, you know, rules are rules, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess, you know...
But thanks for asking.
Well, that's why I said, I respect the board.
Scott,
we just thought it was, we thought...
Well, everybody is so polite to everybody.
from the school aspect of it, I could totally see making some sort of an agreement there. But for everything else...
Can you guys see the logic, though? We're on a state
Absolutely.
Road. We have our trash pickup. In addition, we pay for all our road repairs, so the town never has to spend for that. We plow our own road, so you can see that it's really of a significant benefit to the town. That was our point. But I can see you guys
that's the whole point of approving them.
Right.
It's a significant benefit.
You guys, they're approved, but
so
in your assessment that you were assessed for your impact fee, was a school in that?
No, not in mine.
Not in yours, and it wasn't in yours. Okay. So what's in yours that you'd like to see removed?
I mean, I'm not really going to go forward because I can see based on the composition of the comments that there's not support for it. So I'm not going to.
Well, it's only one. I mean, I don't know what the other ones are thinking.
I'll make a comment.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing is the road issue. You know, I own some property across town that was on a road that wasn't approved for the development that I wanted to do. So I had to spend $3 million to buy some other land that was on a state road. And then the town says, well, we're not going to, you know, pave your road. You got to build your own private road. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, had to, you know, buy land that was on a state road. Mm-hmm. Everyone who's going to live there, you know, is just going to drive on state roads except for, you know, yard sale day when they'll be driving around, you know, the town. So there's no real wear and tear on the highway. Right. And I mean, I think you guys, you know, tried to set up a system to draw some revenue in. As the town grew, you know, with these impact fees, and there was an attempt to match them up with the proper sources, which was like houses. But, you know, now we're just saying, well, maybe if we think about this a little bit deeper, you know, there's a big difference between, like, you know, a development like this that's compact on private roads and on state highways that's going to behave differently than, you know, starting to do subdivisions through all the woods and spreading out the houses everywhere,
right,
which is going to cost quite a bit more.
So it's basically the road one is what you both are
questioning whether you should pay it or not. But the trash one is also quite clear. I don't think everyone understands that the association is going to make everybody, you know, pay money into dues. So Pinard or whomever it is,
correct,
you know, brings giant trucks in, they gather stuff up, and they have their own dump someplace. So we're actually bringing in all this tax revenue. You know, as Scott was saying, it's almost pure profit because there will be no expansion to the dump needed or extra traffic down there. And the road bill is not going to go up in any material way because, you know, a couple hundred more cars are driving on these state highways.
Right.
I think
it's a very reasonable request, actually. Linda?
I just have a question. With the residents that live in the 50 plus, do they get a sticker for the dump? Say they have a large piece of furniture, and they are residents of Candia. Are they allowed to go to the dump?
Absolutely.
Will they get a sticker?
If they get a sticker from the town clerk,
Exactly. So, yep. I mean, how are we to monitor that they still have access to our dump?
Well, they'll be paying taxes.
So every 10 years, you might get a mattress out of, you know, one, but day in and day out, the trash is picked up. That's the vast majority of it. Okay, somebody might get a new piece of furniture, and yes, they would have the right. Okay, it's not.
But they also pay for that new furniture, that old furniture to be discarded.
Oh yeah,
like a mattress.
But they're gonna pay property tax anyway.
I mean, all right, okay, we're getting off track here.
It's not, you know. Hey, look, you know, it was just we had the discussion. We said, look, you know, I mean, it's.
Something to think about.
So trash and roads is really the two issues, right?
Roads.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But so ongoing, they're going to be paying the same tax rate I'm paying.
Right.
So if they want to dump a couch at the dump, they can dump a couch.
Absolutely.
Dump. Yes. It's the impact fee.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. So.
But I will correct you on one thing. South Road, besides 43, is the second most traveled road in Candia. Mm-hmm. And that's a town road.
Which would be utilized.
They'll be getting off at exit 3 going south.
That's what I'm saying. They're not just
high
using
street.
State roads.
Correct.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So you're right. The people from Jim's project would go down South Road.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe.
Absolutely.
Right. So my thought is just that in fairness, or when these are established for a certain reason, I think you're going to find there might be pushback from the rest of the community or other people in the community, and they're going to start saying, like, for example, I know there's $1 million house going up on Diamond Hill. They have no kids.
Right.
Are we going to take that away from them? Are we going to take that away, that
no,
impact
because
away?
No, that's not forever.
They're
what?
Not
the potential is there.
Not at their age. I don't think
they're
so.
Not bringing
the potential is always there. They could sell tomorrow.
The potential's there 20, 50 years from now.
Whatever.
It always is. It always is.
Right.
But
then why establish it at all?
$700,000 of revenue
just,
to town.
And again, it's. I just don't think it's.
Anyway,
I think
just for the record, these projects will have a very positive impact on the tax rate.
Yes.
Yeah.
We understand.
Granted.
Can we
think about it?
Yeah.
I think you should get
what
public
I'd like
input.
To do is actually get the actual amount
right.
that you're looking
right.
to
okay.
change.
Yeah, so we have the facts here.
You get know, the amounts.
Get the amount.
You want to waive it or do a percentage.
You're basically looking for roads and
trash.
Roads and trash, right?
That's right.
But I don't want to go back and forth and have a public.
No, I understand.
I can see.
We won't need to be going back and forth.
Yeah. Sue and Boyd and Pat pretty much said, hey, you know, like that's a school. It's the only thing he would consider. Sue saying no, Boyd saying no. So I'm kind of like.
But if we see it.
But the school's not already in yours, you said.
The school's not in mine.
Right.
No, so we were just talking about.
But
and we knew
roads and.
But
the
schools are in his. He might be worried about
no,
that.
No,
it's not yours either.
No.
Fire and police, we understood.
Oh,
no.
But
anyway.
But there's nothing to say that the bylaws of the HOA 10 years from now aren't going to eliminate Pinard and then start utilizing those services.
Right. But they
either.
Pay property taxes for that anyway. This is just the impact.
But it doesn't matter. There'll still be an impact on that.
No, there is. Because, again, because the plans are recorded as such.
They can't, but anything can happen.
No,
absolutely.
It's recorded
those can
that way.
Become a regular
no, they can't.
Housing development down there if somebody decides to vote
no,
for
they
it.
Can't.
Okay.
The plans are recorded a certain way.
They may be, but nothing is up for being absolute.
I'd like to hear from community members on this.
Who?
Community members.
No.
People who pay our taxes.
No.
No?
But we don't know how it works. You're in this position for a reason.
This is a big ask, okay? It's the last minute. I don't think anybody
is. It's not the last minute. It's just something to consider.
Yeah, we're going to.
You don't have to get all up in about it.
Just take the temperature of the board, and I think we've done that.
Well, can I just make a motion that we, for our next meeting, get the actual figures on what each community is being assessed for?
We can get that probably earlier.
We can get those from the planning board.
Yeah, well, we don't meet again.
No, but he has, they have it. Get that from Rich.
Yeah.
The building department.
Or the building, yeah.
It's not the planning board's job.
Thank you.
Can we?
You have them?
No, I.
Wait a minute, Kevin might have them.
Well, you just have the rate, Kevin. You don't have what they're paying.
No, well, there's a road impact fee.
$14.21 for single.
Public safety impact fee, solid waste impact fee are on the town website. The school is not yet posted.
Yeah, because it's so new.
But that's not what the question is. They want to know what their actual impact is.
Oh, I don't care what they're getting paid or not paying. I wanted to know what percent it is. I mean, I know like the school is the highest percent.
So they're not being impacted for school?
If they're not impacting the school, that'll make a difference. That's what I'm saying.
But Sue, just to let you know, sometime, and I don't remember the school one, it's not as much as the roads.
Really?
Yeah, partially because it all comes down to capacity of what we currently have, what it could hold.
Right.
Oh.
Okay, so it's not in terms of operating budget, it's in terms of capital improvement to handle growth.
Oh, okay.
I see.
Okay.
That explains it better, okay.
So there's enough room right now in the school, so the impact is like.
Because it's a.
Okay.
It's a complex.
Thank you, Tim, because I didn't realize that, okay.
Can we get the fees for each development? For our next meeting, can we get the fees for each development to discuss it?
Yeah.
What do we, with and without, you mean, that type of thing, or?
Really?
Yeah, so we know what the real dollar is.
The main street, what's the high street, what are the costs?
Again, if we do one for one, we're going to do it for others.
But we don't have any.
Well, if they ask. You got to ask.
I'm asking not to pay any taxes.
These are niche developments. No, they're going to maintain their own roads. They're going to do their own trash pickup.
Okay.
Not every development will have that.
We'll get those numbers.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Supportive of your projects.
Thanks, Sue.
The T-Pain, yeah.
I love the shingles on it.
Well, we're not quite at the 10% yet, but there's still.
We're close. We're close. We're very close.
We're getting close.
We're very close.
We're figuring like 15 left.
I think there's probably six more houses.
I think Boyd wants to change that. Boyd's like, oh, I told him we were hitting the 10%. He's like, really?
Bye, Scott.
Okay, you're up, Boyd. The tax deeded property option.
Oh, I lost Judy Lindsay. She's gone?
Yeah, she left after DOT.
After the impact.
Would you want her?
No, DOT.
Go ahead, Boyd.
In our last meeting, we discussed a proposal by New Hampshire tax deeds and property auctions to sell 17 parcels of land that are identified on the tax map as owners unknown. And they have had success in doing this with other towns, most recently in the Hooksett, and they're proposing that we sign a contract with them to engage their services to auction off these 17 parcels of land where the owners haven't yet to be determined. Once we signed this, and Sue brought up a concern that some of these properties may be properties that have already been dedicated or encumbered by the Town Conservation Commission. Since then, I've received assurances from Weston Sager, the principal of this company, that they've done the research for each one of these parcels, and they have not determined that the Town of Canby has ever granted a conservation easement on these properties or granted our Conservation Commission authority over the properties. And I've checked that against my list that I determined the last, that I researched the last time when we did the property auctions about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I've concluded that these are, I think there are 17 properties that are, where the owners are unknown, no, 13, where the owners are unknown, and that the, if we, there's no risk to the town in selling these things. The auction people will do all the research. They'll determine exactly how they came into being, and if, and they will then schedule an auction and they're proposing to sell it with the fee, the auctioneer's fee being paid by the successful bidder. So they're not, the way this has been presented to us, it won't cost the town anything. The total value of these 13 properties, the assessed value is about $1.2 million, a little more than that. And that represents, once you put these properties back on the tax rolls, that represents about $14,000 in property taxes every year. And it's almost impossible to determine what the properties will yield at the auction. But my recommendation to this board is to sign this service agreement with these people and get this process started.
May I make a correction? I was concerned about the conservation and also concerned about future generations, which I'm not a part of, but these other people are. There were different sections. There were different properties. One was for 200 and something thousand. It was commercial property off Candia Road. And there was one for 32 acres or something that the younger generation might want in the future for whether it might be fields or whatever they want. And I don't know if we should sell that out from under them.
Well, if the town
she didn't get the map, by the way.
I don't have the map.
You're gonna, that'll make a difference. Well, the grid.
We didn't get a map.
Well, I haven't seen any of it. Wasn't in the packet from.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd like to wait on that one. Did you look at this?
Did you copy this?
That was in the last meeting.
So this was just the follow-up.
Right.
I think she should be involved.
So we went through this 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. Somebody came and they wanted to have this unknown property.
Parcel's on the list.
Parcel. And our council suggested we don't move forward with changing anything because it's going to cost a lot and it'd be a lot of research to figure out how it got to be
unknown.
Right.
Like, our lawyer said don't move forward with it. So
this outfit takes all that legal responsibility on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they also make the money from the sales. So
yeah, I don't want to go selling 32 acres of somebody could develop.
I think she needs to have that list.
Well,
I think you do before you make a decision.
Yeah,
you'll be surprised.
Can you email it to me?
Well,
no, she can get a copy.
I just want to sit up front.
Sit right up here.
You can sit right there if you'd like, Tyler.
We already discussed this a little while. Tyler,
that was
437 New Boston Road.
That was a couple months ago. Somebody came
different
from
properties.
This is another list of 13 or 17
right,
properties.
Right, and that's what I'm cautious of.
Totally different properties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Unknown owners.
With unknown owners.
Owners unknown.
But you
it's
have to want to look at the
it's a different category.
State tax records,
right.
And then
like I understand, like coming down Pine Hill where in-laws built that, there's like mm-hmm. a little sliver. You wanted to sell that piece of land. I mean, nobody's gonna buy that piece. I understand, like that's like a sliver that we discuss. Like nobody knows who owns it. That's a piece, but like you know, the Branch Brook piece, like
right.
is that now back on that
right.
list because the conservation committee didn't end up.
So what's
putting an agreement on that?
What's that?
Is that like some of these pieces gone back because now it's been a different year? Now is there, you know, because the conservation committee hasn't paid or got
an agreement
on that? Like now those pieces get brought back up again?
They've been on the tax maps as owners unknown since.
Yeah, this is a different list from there.
It's like since 1950.
Do we get to discuss the same list?
The other one's done.
That was done. All those parcels are just
we're
kiboshed.
Done.
Oh,
these
we're
are
all
new
done
ones.
With those.
All done with those parcels.
This
yeah,
is a whole
those,
different
that,
no,
that process
are
is done.
Are we going to still go back are we gonna, is he gonna present this so we can come and have the town look at it again?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a whole different process, Tyler.
And I don't want to make a decision.
Yeah, last time they came with a map and showed us everything.
And people can see it.
So people, it's more the community than just the...
Well, there might be somebody who wants to buy it to protect the town.
Yeah. I just wonder if this was like a decision, we're gonna do it and sell it, or can people voice their opinion on it, that's all.
They should.
They should.
Every one of these properties has a butters.
At the time when it's presented, I think, then you can.
But I will say, last time, we thought we were going to make...
Kevin, you had your hand up first?
I did, Kevin Coughlin, Langford Road. When we looked, as the planning board, you came in to present that to us, and there was a list of 20-something. We whittled down a lot, down to about a dozen. I think the other ones were already under conservation or something.
That's
for the most part.
Right.
So those dozen or so were sold.
That's correct.
What was the revenue from that, do you know?
$62,500.
Where does that money go to?
It goes into the
general fund?
No, it just goes into the unreserved fund balance.
We used some of that to lower taxes last time.
Okay. Right.
So these ones were not found on that last scrub?
They were unknown property owners.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And that's when the auctioneer discovered them. And when they got them auctioning off the properties, they came back and said, hey, why don't you let us sell these properties where the owners are unknown?
And in likelihood, a lot of those are like landlocked pieces in the middle of places?
Very well could be, yep.
Yeah.
Mark?
As vice chair of the planning board, are we going to have this list presented to us before this goes out?
Yes.
And two, I'd like to see the line where that reduces taxpayers, because I don't see a line anywhere that says money back to assessor for taxpayer reduction.
Yeah, you didn't see the 73.
Revenue.
Okay.
Well, on a revenue report.
It does.
There's no line, Boyd, so it doesn't happen.
No, it goes into unreserved balance.
What do you mean by that?
We do that. It's a process when we set the tax rate, Mark. All
when you set the tax rate, but where's the line? Like, we gave $250,000 back last year.
Okay.
Where's the line that says this money goes back to reduce
credit
taxes?
Debit.
Yeah. You want to know though what it was.
So when they're looking at it, they look at the bottom line and they say how much money do we have in our unreserved fund. Then there's this law that says you have to have 12% to 15%,
right?
And we voted on
11.5%. We'll get me going on that.
So then there's like this extra money that we can either keep or
raise
to the tax rate or whatever. That's so there's like when you're setting the tax rate, it's not like they say this extra money is from this, and this.
Mark, it does reduce the tax rate.
I just want to see the line.
We can get him that information. We can get him that information. We can get you that.
It's not
going to
be... I keep hearing it every year, but I never see it.
Oh, I didn't know he asked for that.
Well, there is a public meeting, so next time we set the tax rate, show up.
Mark, we'll see in a minute. We did reduce the tax rate before the bills went out in November.
Yeah, they used like $500,000.
I know what you want, Mark. We can get it.
Balance sheets have credits and debits. You can trace
that's
where money comes from and where it goes to.
Yeah.
All right.
And Tamara's right on there, so
unless
she's sound asleep.
All right, that means we're going to cancel the vacation we plan, guys.
That's right.
So
anyway.
We're being transparent. I love it.
So, that's... Can
we, that wait?
See them presented.
Yeah, she's really... She's a younger one.
That.
I mean, it's her
who?
Generation that this is going to affect. We're going to be gone, Brian. Let's face it. In more ways than one.
John,
we are. It's a
gone, but not forgotten.
Yeah, John.
I'm sure about that.
How much land in total is it unknown? Do you know?
Yeah.
It's a pretty large amount.
Would the town just consider just putting in the conservation?
Well, I would.
We already have about 30 properties in conservation.
Well, it's always good to have more.
Exactly.
The thing is, you're going to sell those, you get $62,000 out of that. I mean, you could log some of this land
exactly.
And make more than $62,000.
And the timber tax. Exactly.
You can log that land and get more money. You know, your son just got his land. He made probably that much money on there. There's money to be made on there.
I was like, oh, just open that up.
I got money here too, Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
I withdraw the motion.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Was it
paid? Yeah, really. You pay the timber tax?
Okay. So you'll talk, ask her to do that for the unreserved, yeah.
All right. She'll get that for you, Mark.
Table it for
the
next meeting?
You're gonna table it?
I guess so.
I want to table it forever, but we can wait till
can we have meeting. Them come do a little ditty?
Well, you need like that.
Well, she they will if we sign that.
No, we're not signing that. She needs that information.
Well, give it to her.
Can
we
I got
another copy, so
yeah, wait.
That's like you got to sign
give
the bill before
Stephanie
you can
give those to Stephanie, and I'll get you new ones. Tomorrow.
Exactly. You should know.
Give those to Stephanie, and I'll get
yeah, that's what Pelosi said, right?
Just that. Yeah.
I don't want to take your only copy. I'll get him new ones, Stephanie. I'll get him new ones. It's okay.
She really will.
I promise. Really well.
All right.
What am I doing? Oh no, I'm leaving for Vegas tomorrow.
Oh my God.
Oh, you're gonna be tomorrow then.
All right. Is that it?
Clean meeting.
For that.
Thank you, boys, for doing that. But
we have a new.
What are we gonna do with this plan?
You're gonna just shelf it for the minute.
We're just gonna
shelf it for a minute.
Right. Shelf it for a minute.
Yeah.
No, for the rest of this meeting.
Right. New town clerk in town, everyone.
Yes.
And the new town clerk hours are Monday and Tuesday, 4 to 7. Wednesday and Thursday, 8:30 to 1:30. Closed on Friday.
Starting April 6th.
April 6th. It's only a minute away.
And it'll be posted on, it's everywhere posted, multiple.
Right. Yeah. All right.
So it's different than it was.
Yes.
We have a new town clerk. Okay.
We have no control over the hours.
Right.
We're actually the town clerk, period. Wow. Not at all.
The next select board meeting is Monday, April 13, 6:30. Is there any other input from the audience? Yes, sir.
I just have comments about the...
Name, please.
Sorry. Jason Gustin, 161 Crowley Road. There's an upcoming development in Chester, which Candia also has approval on the plans board.
Yep.
So that planning board meeting was supposed to be this Wednesday. I just came to talk to the select board since we have a representative from the select board on the planning board, Brian. And that I'm just here to briefly discuss the Tanglewood development off of Crowley Road. I'm here to speak to the board such that Brian Brock, the select board's representative to the planning board, can convey the town's constituents, at least mine, disapproval of this project. All throughout the application process in Chester, this developer was routinely late and would ask for meetings to be rescheduled with little to no notice to the public. This was incredibly frustrating as a member of the public, as it was a burden put on me to ensure I was being vigilant. I realize we do have a responsibility in that, but it's excessive. This whole process has started off in Candia on the same foot. Delays this Wednesday, they weren't ready for it. And forcing public to reorganize our lives around poor planning by the developer. It's completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. The main issue I see with this development is that it would entirely use Crowley Road for access. This road as it stands cannot handle the increase of traffic and would be brought about by this development. In order to safely and legally handle this traffic, Crowley Road would need to be updated to an arterial roadway. These updates are not feasible given the closeness of houses, rock walls, and wetlands. Further, Crowley Road is a scenic road which affords it certain protections. Any impact of trees and rock walls on a scenic road must be approved by the planning board. In May of 2001, there was a New Hampshire Supreme Court case about this very issue in Candia. There was a development planned off of Libby Road and about 25 trees were going to be cut. The planning board denied the request to cut these trees because it would change the scenic road qualities of the explicit reasons were given by the planning board. The planning board denied the request to cut these trees, and the resulting disagreement reached the Supreme Court. In this case, the Supreme Court sided with the town of Candia Planning Board that it was within its legal authority to deny the request to cut trees. Lastly, there are also RSAs that we could utilize to push back and things like that. RSA is 674:36IIA. Which discuss preventing premature or scattered subdivisions. Some of these are danger to injury or safety, lack of water supply, and transportation. That's all.
Would you please email that so we could put it in the minutes?
Yep.
Okay, Linda. So we can put it in the minutes, so you can
so
put
Linda
it in the minutes.
Can.
Sorry,
thank
you.
Internet on my laptop.
Thank you very much.
And I have printouts of the Supreme Court ruling, if you guys want it.
Yeah, I don't see how is that even going to move forward?
Because from
yeah, that meeting is scheduled for April 1st.
Is that it is now.
Yeah, it is now.
It was supposed to be this Wednesday.
Yes.
Right,
and
they weren't ready.
They just changed it.
They were yet again not ready for another
Tim did advertise it, though. It's on the website.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. All the ones in Chester were advertised the day of.
Yeah, the day before.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I was moving things around on my schedule such that I could make these meetings.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, one or two,
well,
I get it.
Thank you. The planning board can share in your frustration, but...
I no doubt. Thank you very much.
Now, Brian might be able to...
We can't really comment too much on it.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Oh, because I was going to ask... I thought.
I just wanted to give you
yeah,
heads
no,
up.
That's fine.
For you to convey.
That's all information I think we've had, but it echoed numerous times, but thank you.
Planning board meetings.
Thank you.
Is it true that if they meet the criteria, you can't deny it, or they can go to... Is that just a yes or no?
They can appeal our decision at the end
if
they
want
to. You
could still say no. I thought you couldn't say no.
Oh, no, we can say no.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's a road, but I can't comment any much on that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Hold on, bro. We cannot comment one way or another
okay,
on
sorry.
This project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
that
I asked.
Brings liability
okay.
to the town.
I won't ask. Take that back.
Thank you. Anything else?
Kevin Coughlin, Langford Road. I have a question. On the ballot, the last couple of warrant articles were regarding keno and gambling.
Yeah.
And they passed, but I believe there was some issue with an insufficient wait a period for notification. Are they valid? Are they in place? Or are they going to have to get revoted next year?
All I know is we were supposed to have a public hearing, and because of the snowstorm, we did not have it. And we were supposed to have that public hearing to comply with that. Those warrant
plus,
articles,
didn't we need
and we didn't.
We needed
so,
3/5.
Right.
Those are 3/5?
And we didn't get 3/5.
Yeah. So
oh, we did.
They didn't pass. No,
yeah.
They were close. They were within, 20 votes?
Yeah.
So now we can gamble in town?
Yeah, you can.
You can gamble anytime you want.
Get those machines in.
You know, all you want to.
Get the machines in.
It's the keno.
No machines. You can still go right to the counter and buy a keno ticket.
You can't? I don't even know what keno is.
I wouldn't even know.
I'm the wrong one to ask.
You can buy a keno ticket.
Really?
It's amazing that we've wasted this much energy the last 6 years.
I know, and we talk every year about it.
So now we can have keno
ticket. I tried to tell them when they were talking about it. They didn't understand me.
Yeah.
So it's still with the state to figure out?
Who knows? I don't have the answer.
So what did you tell First Door?
If it's by right.
I didn't tell them anything.
Well, it didn't pass.
The state is still trying to clarify.
Right.
That
the word,
the language was very unclear,
yeah,
confusing, so they're still trying to straighten it out.
What about the tax credit with the $300,000?
Oh, God, don't bring up that, too.
The what? that passed. Shush. Everybody likes the older people.
Yeah.
It was a sunny 75-degree day.
Just kidding.
Is there anything else out there?
No, they all supported
nothing?
The school.
They did. I was so surprised.
Thank you.
Pleasantly pleased.
A motion?
We got one more thing.
One more thing? What do we got?
Whoa, you thought you were out of here.
The review criteria.
The what?
So the agenda.
What?
Employee review criteria.
Oh.
We did? That was on there?
Yeah, it is. Thank
oh,
you.
I did already checked it off. Sorry.
Uh-oh. Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead. What is
oh, customer service. Boyd would like to, has made a recommendation that we make the number 8 on our performance review criteria to include a level of customer service, an aspect of customer service with the attitude selection.
Yeah, this idea originated after the
thank
election.
You, guys.
Thank you very
much.
Our operating budget was approved, and both all the warrant articles this board recommended was approved. And I was over at the recycling center to talk and to Chuck about it, and he indicated that this is because of the public's confidence and support for this board, and he claims it's because of customer service. That he teaches all the people at the recycling center customer service because he believes that anything he requests will be supported by a public that's satisfied with the service.
And they are. They love that.
And we sort of talked about the idea of making customer service a critical element when we evaluate our employees. Because everybody who works for this town is here to provide a service to a resident. And so we added this little thing here. It says...
What do you call it? public.
Customer service. What's it say, Amy?
On number 8, it says attitude, but he would like to change it, amend it to say attitude slash customer service.
Oh, okay, okay.
For the employee review process. So they're just, that's taken into consideration.
I think it's redundancy, but I don't have an opposition to it.
Does the employee provide helpfully customer service? A tangible
community
customer
service. They're not customers,
the
are they?
Yeah. And I don't see any
really members. We call it public service.
Yeah, it's something like
I don't
that.
Know, I
and
think
something
it's
like Linda. She's
reflected
yeah.
in the rest of the review, but I don't have a
Linda.
Problem with
exactly.
adding it.
Exactly.
They do.
They love the dump. Or recycling.
So anyhow, that we would, Amy and I talked about this, and I think it's a good idea to incorporate this into the review standards so that we evaluate people based on how they interact with the public and to provide a tangible public service in a courteous manner.
It changes it more towards, it gives that more of a focus towards
community
the customer.
Service, yeah.
Exactly right. And that's
community.
What we're here for.
Yeah,
customer.
As opposed to just
sounds
attitude.
Like
because Amy can give you an attitude, but that doesn't mean she's not good with the public.
Right.
But she still can give them an attitude.
Hey, I'm a customer.
Oh, my goodness. Depends
so,
on which side of the door you're on.
That's not a battle I'm going to stand on, whatever you guys want to do.
Too, so
I'm not gonna,
I
don't care. Call it whatever you want.
Got a motion on that?
Absolutely.
I move that we authorize Amy to change the performance criteria to include customer service as a component.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Any further discussion or
no,
comments
I
on
just
it?
My customer sounds so cool.
All in favor?
Yes.
Seth.
Boy.
Brian.
Pat.
Motion to adjourn.
What?
It went through, boy. That's
it
good.
It went through. You got it. Good. How about another motion?
Don't make a motion to adjourn.
There we go. Oh, he beat you to the
I guess that Boyd would second it.
You second it?
Yeah.
No. He has no what number are we on?
Hello. All in favor?
So,
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.